Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We're glad you're with us this morning. And our focus is manifold around one organization or ministry. You may have heard of it, Concerned Women for America. We have with us North Carolina's State Director, Cherie Miller, and also the Associate Director for North Carolina, Mary Frances Forrester. And welcome to the two of you.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell.
If we could, I'm going to let you help me introduce both of you first. Just say a word about yourselves, kind of how you got into Concerned Women for America. But even before that, let's tell the listeners, what is this organization? What's it about?
Oh, I'm happy to tell you about that, Dr. Campbell. Concerned Women for America is the nation's largest public policy women's organization in the nation, with over 500,000 members. It has a rich biblical history. It was founded by Mrs. Beverly LaHaye in 1979, and with over 500,000 members, we are the nation's largest public policy women's organization. Our state organization, Concerned Women for America of North Carolina, was founded in 1997 by Mary Frances Forrester, and with over 10,000 supporters in our state. What I appreciate is our mission statement, which is to shed biblical light and truth in the area of public policy to our citizens through prayer, education, and action. And I'll also add that our state scripture verse says so much. It's Matthew 5:14, which is that we are a light to the world, a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. And so, like the lighthouses that illuminate our eastern shore, Concerned Women for America of North Carolina believes that we are to be used by God to make a difference in public policy as a light in the darkness with prayer and action.
My history began in in the mid-90s. My husband was the one who had the marriage amendment law, which first came out in 1995 and 96.
So your last name, Forrester, connects to?
Well, to Senator Jim Forrester, 43rd District in Gaston County. And that was such an eye-opening experience and a very difficult time. Actually wrote Concerned Women for America and said, where are you? We needed you. Where were you? Wow. And so then I found myself in Dallas, Texas 3 days later.
You found they needed you.
And we began Concerned Women for America in North Carolina and continued with the marriage amendment through the constitutional amendment, because once there was a state statute, we began to understand the activist judges who were ruling these state statutes unconstitutional. So it had to be in the Constitution, and we worked toward that end. So that was my interest in the beginning, and that mission has enlarged to other Judeo-Christian values and all in the public square, because so many of us as believers have been intimidated into silence, and we can no longer do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, on this program, we seek to bring topics of relevance that help connect Christ with the community. And some of you listeners, you say, I'm not Christian, or I am, but I take a different slant on things. This sounds like a conservative organization. And we air and interview all kinds of people on this program. And yes, today we have a conservative focus on issues of politics. And I encourage you to listen in, even if you don't agree with this stance right up front. You just might learn something?
The Ten Commandments has been the social code of justice for over 5,000 years, regardless of your political persuasion, in every Western civilization. So this does not have to, we do not have to make this a particular set of believers. This is for the culture and the society in which we live.
Well, let me add to that. There are people often, you all are bringing politics and culture together, and there's a long, rich history of that in our country. But the feeling among people is separation of church and state, and it's worked down to the level where now the church is being squashed by the state, frankly. It's my opinion.
Oh, yes.
And you all, I think, are trying to help bring some parity to the situation, because people who are Christian, supposedly 80% of our country, should have a voice on topics they're concerned about. I think that's what you guys are doing, right? You're bringing a voice.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
as women. You're empowering women to speak up.
Yes.
And share what they feel. So I'm not trying to give you a negative slant by saying conservative, but then we get into politics, and, of course, listeners will be conservative to liberal on a political spectrum. And what you're telling me, Mary Frances, is even on a political spectrum, this doesn't have to be partisan. We can deal with topics that are simply for the health of our country.
Concerned Women for America is not a church. Mm-hmm. It's nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. We are Judeo-Christian. But we accept those who believe in traditional values. That's the key. Mm-hmm.
Traditional
for
values.
And that has been the stalwart of society.
And Dr. Campbell, your listeners might relate to my story that I felt powerless. In 1995, my husband and I felt powerless by the decisions made by our government leaders. And we felt as a single voice. And then we received a publication in the mail, we say by divine providence, from Concerned Women for America. I'd never heard of the organization. When I read that the heart of Concerned Women for America is prayer, I started a prayer action chapter out of my home and joined then with the 500 prayer action chapters that have been established throughout the nation then and today, where men and women meet monthly to pray and act on issues impacting the American family.
So a prayer action chapter might have two people, might have 500?
Yes. It tends to be smaller groups of those who are concerned about issues affecting the American family.
And we need to educate on those issues. We've always trusted our government. We've always trusted our leaders. And we found that in the modern post-Christian era, they say, we are now in, it's not entirely clear. There's a lot of gray. We understand that. Our cultural mores are moving into this intermediate area, relativism and all the other isms. And public policy is important, and you have to be educated to that. You have to be informed in order to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, right now I hear you two just kind of clearing the air around two myths. One is that prayer is illegal. I mean, you know, God's always there listening to us, and we can always pray. It's true that the government is pushing prayer out of certain public arenas, but we can still pray quietly. And God hears our prayers. It's not illegal. I mean, what's happened to the prayer life of Americans? And a second myth I see just getting pushed away as you're speaking, the two of you, is the idea that we've got to stay away, Christians, stay away from the legal arena, from laws, from politics, that the two don't mix. Well, wait a minute. Every law has an ethical value. Every law is not floating on its own. It's rooted and grounded in some kind of ethics and moral code. For good or for bad. And we should recognize that. And we, in a republic, have a responsibility to be educated about values.
Exactly.
And the laws that they're built on, and to make wise choices for the health of our country.
And we have been intimidated into silence because we're told we cannot mix traditional values
and public
policy.
So you ladies are not putting up with the silence anymore.
No.
Well,
no.
Good for you. I'm for you all the way in that regard. I mean, it's not just, of course, about ladies, but sometimes...
Well, we have like-minded men. We do have men in Concerned Women for America, and
but
welcome
them.
But
it's needed for all of us to stand up and say...
Exactly.
We love this country. Mm-hmm. We don't want to alienate people. We don't want to be judgmental or self-righteous, any of that stuff.
Concerned Women for America are mothers, grandmothers, daughters, who've drawn the line in the sand and said no more. There must be something that I can do and that I can help educate and inform to make a difference.
Yeah. Well,
when you talk about prayer, that is the heart of CWA. Based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, again, it's that when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, that I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Today, what we have in 2013 is a church body that's lost her salt and light. that has lost the responsibility of being a steward of the institution of government which God has ordained. And today, churches are failing to vote. They're failing to speak out on the great biblically based public issues of prayer in the school, same-sex marriage, abortion. With decades of humanistic culture, as you mentioned, Dr. Campbell, God, prayer, the Bible are being removed from the government, courts, and schools. And we are told that we are violating the constitutional First Amendment of church and state that our forefathers founded with the First Amendment. But President Ronald Reagan, what he would say to America 2013 is that the First Amendment was written to protect, was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values, but to protect those religious values from government tyranny.
Yes, and this country was founded in the pulpits of the churches, regardless of your political persuasion. Mm-hmm. They were the community centers. They were where you gathered. They were where you were educated. The Bible was used as your textbook. Mm-hmm. So these things were used, though you didn't have to be a professed believer. So we feel like these traditional values are what this country is based on.
And if you're listening now and you're thinking, okay, this is... I'm all for this, or I'm not for this. Hang on as we get now a little more deeply into it. Sherry, we want to take this first half and focus on the battle for America's soul.
Mm-hmm.
Can you open up this topic for us? What is this battle?
First of all, I've served and prayed with Concerned Women for America for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned is that whomever is elected, whatever administration is in office, our God is on the throne.
That's right.
And right. And our part, according to Scripture from 1 Timothy 2, is to pray for all men, kings and authority, so that we might live a peaceable life. And this is what is pleasing to God, our Lord and Savior, for all men to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So we've got to start with prayer. And how
start
easily we
with
forget.
Prayer.
Can I say, I'll confess with anyone willing to say this who's listening now, it's really easy to point the finger and shake it at a government. I don't care what side the president or cabinet's on politically or local state leader perhaps. It's really easy to point the finger and shake the finger. It's more difficult to lift our hands in prayer and to
yes.
bless the government. And that's what we're called to do.
Yes, because ultimately, as 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, that God desires for all men to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever battles, attacks, trials that our nation is facing, Scripture says that we're not supposed to be afraid of the fiery trials that are against us, for our battles are not against flesh and blood. They're not against the men in office. They're against the principalities of evil and darkness that are trying to divide our country. And our part is to pray. So since the election of 2012, my prayer was that as I noticed the division in our country over basic fundamental foundational heritage of Judeo-Christian values and the church losing her salt and light, I prayed that I would be able to get a message to North Carolinians about the battle for America's soul. And Dr. Campbell, as Christ followers, we are in a battle to protect our liberties, our Judeo-Christian values. We're in a battle to restore this country's soul with faith, dependency on God through Christ.
You're listening to Sherry Miller. She's the director for Concerned Women for America in North Carolina. Sherry, do you believe that prayer can really make that kind of difference? I'm not asking now just anyone likes to mentally say, oh, of course God can do anything. Do you really believe that if people rise up, and the women who are often the prayer warriors behind revivals through history, do you believe that if women rise up and pray, they can actually
change hearts.
Help get us back
yes.
on track.
Yes, we can change
you
hearts.
That.
Yes, and that what I would encourage the listeners is that when they feel powerless or angry or despondent about decisions made by government leaders, that is our call to pray for the hearts to be changed,
and to be faithful to the task, to be faithful to the task.
We've got to get out of room critical and into room prayerful, huh?
Yes.
And then to get out and be positive. Be positive.
That's right.
Forces in this country.
When you ask if prayer can make a difference, I'm often asked after the election, how did North Carolina elect, after 150 years, a conservative leadership and majority in the House and the Senate? Mm. And Dr. Campbell, I honestly believe with all my heart it was prayer. I have prayed for our state leaders and national leaders since 1995. And as I traveled the state with She Votes 2012, it was a national project to get out the vote. Mm-hmm. I saw that North Carolinians understood that the election 2012 was a spiritual battle to be lost and won through prayer.
But we had a coalition of all groups that worked together, became one team. We were called, not necessarily Concerned Women for America, but the Marriage Amendment Coalition was called from Israel, the UK, Italy. Wow. I'm trying to think of some of the other countries saying, how did you do this? What kind of method? And it was teamwork. It was a coalition. Mm-hmm. We all came together for a common cause because we wanted to see you can live any lifestyle you want to live in this country. You have the freedom to do that. But to change the definition to marriage, there's a line drawn there. And we all came together because of traditional values that we all espoused, and we worked together. And that was with prayer and with education and with getting out to carry the message of what the implications were here. And that's why North Carolina, 61%, voted on May the 8th to keep marriage tradition.
Well, you know, that was a hot topic here, of course, the marriage amendment, but now it's marriage in general and dealing on a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe, Sherry, that prayer can make a difference even there?
Oh, I absolutely do. There were 10,000 supporters of traditional family values and marriages defined between one man and one woman. Last month, in March, that marched for marriage in Washington, D.C., and there was prayer. There were speakers represented from large conservative organizations that prayed and will continue to pray that our judges, that their hearts will be open to truth and that they will make a decision that is based on God's wisdom.
Can I give you a specific example of how it worked?
And this is Mary Frances Forrester. Go ahead.
When the marriage amendment was in crisis, because we did not know if we had the 32 votes to pass the marriage amendment for the constitutional amendment, I asked my husband, Senator Jim Forrester, said, what can Concerned Women for America do to help you? And he said, there are these legislators who are sitting on the fence, who have not committed one way or the other. What you can do is you can communicate to them through your supporters that they need to, number one, come to the special session, and they need to support this amendment. Concerned Women for America got those zip codes and sent out 10,000 cards to supporters, and they were at-large supporters. They were not all just North Carolina supporters. They were at-large supporters for Concerned Women for America. And we sent out those cards and said, please encourage your legislator to come to this special session on September the 12th, and please encourage him to vote. There was one senator who was sitting on the fence and who said he'd never really supported it. He never felt like it was the right thing to do. But he had gotten thousands of calls from his constituents, and he was going to vote for the amendment. Voices make a difference. Collective voices make a bigger difference.
I feel that right now a lot of those people who hold traditional values around marriage are sitting on the fence. They're sitting quietly watching TV, whatever, and not speaking out. They're not even maybe praying. And I'm not condemning anyone here, but I want to say a word and see if you two ladies who are involved in this arena actively giving so much of your time to this. I want to see if you agree with the statement. And listeners, I want to see if you agree with this also. There are a lot of people who will say, even who are Christian, who will say, there's an issue of marriage equality here, And in fairness, we need to allow marriage to be accessible to everybody. Okay, I don't think anyone disagrees with that concept. I think what the problem is we're not thinking more deeply. Along with issues of equality, you have to question, is marriage a right, or is it, if you're a Christian, supposed to be seen as a sacrament, something God has given to us? And if it's truly a sacrament, then there goes a deeper level of a question. As we're talking about rights and equality, should we not also ask ourselves, what is most healthy for a society? I mean, there are a lot of people in special interest groups that are asking for rights and privileges that perhaps we don't grant because there's a responsibility for a government, national and local, to do what is best to protect all of its citizens. So these are things to think about. Sherry, do you want to pick up more about what's the state of the church as you think about the soul of America today? What? How do you see that?
I think the church is not... Let me back up.
Yeah,
I'm going to back way up. I want to back up to our beginnings, Dr. Campbell, about the church, because we do represent an organization that wants to protect Judeo-Christian values. Well, what does that mean before I start talking about the church today?
Okay, that's really good. I think we can forget. We say the word, maybe don't know what that word or phrase means. Go ahead.
Right, and one of my favorite stories is about Pastor Peter Muhlenberg, who lived in Woodstock, Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And the year was 1776 when he was stood before his congregation in a full colonial army officer uniform. And he proclaimed to his congregation, "It's time for war." And then he asked, "Who among you is with me?" And he said, "If you don't choose to fight to protect your liberties, there will soon be no liberties to protect." And we have to remember that our liberties began in praying churches and with revolutionary pastors who weren't afraid to speak from the pulpit on the great issues of tyranny and freedom. The early patriots, they turned to God, Dr. Campbell, not to the government, to govern the affairs of men. George Washington, in his farewell address, said that it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Our preamble in our very own state constitution says that we are grateful to Almighty God and acknowledge our dependence upon Him. And our forefathers, they understood that the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness would only survive when America would recognize her utter dependence upon God, and that any government without God borders on tyranny. This is the history that America has for our Judeo-Christian values, so that when I traveled the state with She Votes 2012 last year, what I heard from North Carolinians is that the church has lost her salt and light, and that it is absolutely crucial for all of us who are concerned about protecting the traditional values of faith, family, freedom, marriage between one man and one woman, and the sanctity of life, to stand strong together, united with our prayers and our votes. And I say that from the White House to the courthouse, from the schoolhouse to my house, that it is essential responsibility that I have to vote traditional values, to pray for our nation dependent upon God, or we stand to lose our religious liberties, our Judeo-Christian values, and the very constitutional freedoms upon which our nation was founded.
With this, we're going to pause, listeners. We'll be right back in just about 30 seconds. We have with us Sherry Miller and Mary Frances Forrester, who are both leading in North Carolina, really serving a movement among women who are concerned about the soul of our country. And we're going to come right back, and I'm going to ask the director of the Sherry Miller, what happens to a state or a country, Sherry, that's without God? Where do you see us heading if we don't turn a corner and get back on track? We'll be right back.
You are listening to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. To discover more about Beyond Words and the other ministries of Scripture Awakening, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com. While there, you can learn about our amazingly successful Bible reading program, B90, or Bible in 90 Days. you can review the extensive catalog of our versatile Bible study series titled Be Next. You can also download free podcasts from all Beyond Words programs. Check out B90, Be Next, and Beyond at scriptureawakening.com. Here once again is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome back. If you've been listening, you know that we've got two special guests with us. We have the director of Concerned Women for America in North Carolina, and that's Sherry Miller. We also have the associate director, Mary Frances Forrester, who is quite a mover and shaker as well for the kingdom. And I praise God for women who are standing up, just proclaiming what they think is a way to help our country remain healthy. Because frankly, I think in a lot of ways we've veered off course. We've lost our moral compass, and we're suffering for it.
We economically
are. As well as morally and spiritually.
We are.
So what happens? If you don't mind, I'm going to start with you. Sherry, what happens to a state or a country that gives up on God?
I have an example, Dr. Campbell. I am a fifth-generation Californian, and I was raised at a time when the schools taught that America was a melting pot, founded as a Christian Judeo nation. I was taught civics and about pilgrims, our forefathers, and founding documents. And in my junior year of high school, I attended Girl State with a signed certificate by Governor Ronald Reagan. We say in California that those were the good old days when California was Reagan's shining light to the nation. But what has happened to my home state is it is no longer a shining light to the nation, Dr. Campbell. My state is now bankrupt morally, financially, spiritually. It's overtaxed, overregulated. And Proverbs 29, verse 2 says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan.
Powerful word. Do you fear that what's happened to California, from the bottom up, from the beliefs of people in their hearts right up to the government and the way they're behaving and that we're handling the economy, that this is going to happen or is happening to our country?
I am deeply saddened and angered that not only California, but that our country has moved from God-honoring and a thriving free enterprise to a nation that is socialist governed without God, that many feel the best days are behind us.
We live in an era of victimization. Without a stable family unit, you don't have teamwork, you don't have everybody working and coming together and sharing and how to do things as a unit. You have those who feel entitled to certain help because of their victimization. And all these different groups are split, they're splintered. We have designer children. We have yours, mine, and ours. Those families that are still living in traditional values, that do have a strong family unit, the children do better. They do better in school. There is less poverty. They are more successful in their personal lives as they leave the nest, so to speak, because they've had that unit sharing. They've had a stable environment in which to grow. They haven't been tossed or shared, or as I remember, our children were in college, and one said, Mom, we only have one set of parents. So if we ask you and you tell us that we can't do something, we don't have another set of parents to ask. Isn't that an interesting comment on our culture today?
You know, and I think what you're saying, Mary Frances, is not, oh, shame on you people who don't have a traditional family anymore, but rather, let's wake up Americans and let's pray for God to help us.
Exactly.
Because we're going in a direction that's going to hurt a lot of, it already is hurting all of us, and it will not get better. We're going to be suffering down the road if we can't turn this wagon around. God can do it.
God can do it. We can work together. We can share. We can come together. We could be a stable influence. And the children are the key. The children are the key.
Yes, yes. They're the future leaders.
Dr. Campbell, Ronald Reagan said that if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be as one nation gone under. And in 1999, I want to read something to the listeners that has touched me about our nation and the battle for America's soul. In 1999, Mr. Darrell Scott, the father of Rachel Joy Scott, a victim of the Columbine High School shootings in Littleton, Colorado. Now, this was 1999 that Mr. Scott was asked to address the House Judiciary Subcommittee. But listen to just his words and what he said about our nation in 1999. He said to the legislators, "Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms and precious children die. You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need."
It's powerful.
Wow. It's powerful, isn't it?
Talking about law. You've mentioned a few topics, and they could be debated here in the air, but instead of that, let's pick one that is very, I think, like a hot potato, in a very serious consideration, Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
We hear that word, and we think, okay, that's over there. Mm-hmm. That's somewhere over there as Muslim countries where women are wearing veils.
Yeah.
But does it impact us here?
Yes. It is an insidious invasion of our culture, and it's there.
It's an insidious invasion. You're telling me there are things... Are people being told you've got to wear veils now, women?
They're going in more subtle ways than that. There is no freedom of religion in Islamic law. Mm-hmm. There is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of thought. There is no freedom of artistic expression. There is no freedom of the press. There is no equality.
Now,
women
talking,
are less.
You're talking about Muslims in America.
Muslims in America.
Not to the average person like you and me, but to Muslims.
And Muslims are wanting their law. They want to be treated by their law. If they are subjected to any court proceedings, they want to be fined, judged through their law rather than our law. I think an interesting thing, we have two Muslim congressmen, and I would have to give you the name. Keith Ellison was the first one in 2006 to take his oath of office with the Quran. Now, according to the Quran, Islamic law is the only law. It is the highest law. It is subject to no other law.
What we're saying here, people need to be aware, Islam is really a religion that goes back to medieval times. And I'm not knocking it. Here's the point, though. It's more than a religion. It's wrapped around, like in a medieval, it's wrapped around
education,
a system of government.
Political.
You can't have the religion without the government, the rules, and laws.
Economic.
Now, I'm not saying there aren't Muslims in America who aren't just good American citizens abiding by our own laws. You know.
True.
You're talking about Sharia law. You're talking about those who are more fundamentalist.
But that is the part of Islamic law. It is the highest law. And here you have a congressman who took his oath of office, who stood there and swore to protect the Constitution and uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Now, do you hate Muslims?
No.
I just want to clear the air.
No.
People are listening.
Do not
now,
hate
where
Muslims.
Is this woman going?
He's made in God's image.
Okay, so it's not a matter of hating anybody.
No.
It's
a matter of constitutional law.
Issue about our country's laws.
Exactly.
Things that are changing that people aren't even aware of.
That's
right.
Dr. Campbell, Mary Frances and I attended a national briefing on Sharia law mm-hmm. 2 years ago in Washington, D.C., and it was a three-hour panel discussion, and the bottom line is that radical Islam is not a religion. It is a political, militant system with the objective of submission to Allah.
Right.
And so... In this country,
when you say radical, that's where jihad finds its
rich soil.
Exactly. I brought up about our founding documents because that our country has been based on a Judeo-Christian value. We cannot have two laws to coexist in this country.
Okay. In other words, two really moral codes is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yes.
Behind the law, that whole system of thought that a country that's Judeo-Christian. Now Islam also says there's one God. It's Judeo-Christian, one God, the third monotheistic religion is Islam. And what's so bad about Islam? It's just another one-God religion, right?
The goal is submission to Allah.
And the point, I think, that you already made, Sherry, is we're not talking about the religion.
That's
we're
right.
talking about what rises above it.
Above it.
For the
Islamic law. That's
the
right.
The problem is maybe our country it's like a person asleep at the wheel, not realizing the road is turning.
Good.
You're gonna have a wreck if you don't wake up.
That.
You know, there's something significant changing. Pick it up for us, Mary Frances. You really think this is a danger in our country, or is it?
I think it is a danger in our country because the Constitution in America and the United States does not accept any other law. We say that Constitution law is the highest law. Islamic Sharia law says that Sharia law is the highest law. Now, how are you going to live together with that side by side? You are going to have one law or the other law, which is the highest law. The Muslims would like to be treated by their law. They want to be judged by their law, which allows a lot of restrictions that we do not allow in this country. We are free. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of thought. Women can vote. Women can run for office. Women can drive. Women do not. Domestic violence is not allowed in this country. You don't beat your wife. There are restrictions. There is no even. You are either a believer or an unbeliever in the Muslim faith. So you don't have that distinction between the two. And there's a danger there. Either we live by constitutional law, which is American law, which is the highest law of the land, which does not accept Islamic law. But we're being asked to do that.
So, again, I'm sure some people are having a hard time sorting this out.
Okay.
We're not saying Muslims or anyone from any Arabic state, anywhere in the Middle East, they're not welcome. Far from it, right?
That's right.
This is a melting
This
pot.
Is a free country.
This is the history of our nation, mm-hmm. welcoming all kinds of people. We are saying, or you are
that
saying,
that you must live under American
you,
law.
That we have a constitution.
That's right.
And we should not just give it up. We don't have to give it up as we welcome people in and welcome them to our society.
Exactly.
So it's not an issue of love or hate or anything like that.
No.
Or bigotry or prejudice, any of that kind of thing.
It is under which law you're going to live.
And people think, well, this is ridiculous. It's not going to affect our country. But if we look at Europe.
But this also extends, yes, and this extends further. This is any foreign law.
Okay,
this is the law of the United Nations that says, going to tell you how to raise your children and the rights of the child.
Right.
So we have that. In this country, children belong to their parents. Not to the state.
Okay, so it's not just about Sharia, but this is a topic.
Any foreign law.
People often don't think this way. I just want to make the comment, in Europe, in a number of the nations throughout the European continent, you have the Muslim population growing so rapidly that they will overwhelm the next decade or two these nations with laws that go with the populace. Now, the growth rate here in America is not as fast. You still think these laws are a concern.
They are very much a concern.
Very much a concern.
I was going to read. Let's see. I'll have a quote. I'm not sure if I can come. But that within 20 years, there will be enough Muslims in this country to elect their own president.
Based on just sheer
numbers.
Numbers. You know, the per capita influence. As
yes. Wanted to give you that direct
that's
quote.
That's astounding. Mm-hmm.
That is astounding.
Well, what do you do about that? You can't tell people you're not welcome here.
Well, what have we done for immigrants who have been coming to this country from the very beginning? If you go back far enough, you're welcome to come here and live here. We welcome you. We want you to be a part of the process. You live under American law.
There you go. We're just asking you to become one of us, not to
That's
try
right.
to change us.
That's not That's right. exactly. That's the essence.
So
but
you
as Christians, Dr. Campbell,
right?
it's always... The goal is to speak the truth in love, to pray for souls, remembering that our battles are not against flesh and blood, they're against the principalities of evil and darkness, and so that we're not to be afraid, we're not to be fearful. We are to pray for hearts to be changed.
Sherry, let me add this. Part of what fear has done, and I think a little bit of ignorance and apathy, it's caused many Christians who could be leaders to sit back and become couch potatoes
exactly.
or just indifferent to what's going on. It's caused many who have the talents and gifts to be leaders in politics to say, that's not for us.
I call it intimidation.
Yeah,
they've been intimidated into silence.
We're supposed to be in the world but not of it. Wait a minute. But we got to get into it. We're supposed to be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
We need, more than maybe ever before in the history of this country, for young people to rise up, get a good education, get grounded in truth, and come with a great deal of compassion to lead this country.
Exactly. Yes. Is America ready to give up her sovereignty and become a European nation?
Yeah, because if we sit back and do nothing, you're showing us the warning signs. And Sharia law is just an example. This is not a knock on Muslims. In any way. In fact, I have friends who are over in Muslim lands, winning them to Christ in a loving manner. And they're coming to Christ because these friends are out doing social action, good work, good deeds, and they're incredible people. And Muslims look and they say, wow, I didn't know Americans were like this. Tell me about your God. And they realize there's something real here. But we've got to wake up on our own soil, don't we?
We do. We do. I say that the battle for America's soul begins in our hearts and our homes. And what I encourage your listeners is to pray with your families, pray for your nation, ask God for forgiveness, and teach your children and your grandchildren about our great American Judeo-Christian heritage, and tell them about the pilgrims and forefathers and founding documents, and tell them about the privilege to vote. The vote, Dr. Campbell, prayer and voting are the power that we have in this country to protect our traditional values. So often last year during the election, I would run into Christians that would say, you know, Sherry, I just can't vote for either candidate.
Right.
And I would say, well, this is what you do. You vote for the platform that represents your values. And by the way, there is one platform that recognizes God, Israel, the definition of marriage between one man and one woman, and the sanctity of life in the womb. And I also say regarding voting, and this is something to teach children, is that don't ever forget the lives that have been sacrificed for you to have the privilege to vote. Our prayers and our votes are the power that we have.
If we could help, now this is, women have a great power in this to help educate children, whether it's in a school or a Sunday school, whether it's in a home or in a public venue. If we could help the earlier, the younger ones in our country, the future leaders, remember our history.
Yes. And we have to take back our education, our children in the schools. It should come from the community and not from the state. Your children still in this country belong to the parents, and they have the control of that education.
Okay, so people are listening, and there are at least some, I'm thinking, who are saying, well, how do I get more educated? I want to learn that history and teach it. I want to get resources for prayer. You're talking about this prayer network. How do I do it in my home? On and on. They're wondering, how do they get in touch?
Our contact information is on the website, is nc.cwfa.org.
And if you can't remember that, it's Google Concerned Women for America.
Concerned Women for America of North Carolina.
There, you can hit state, and you can write North Carolina.
Exactly.
And the two women in the studio, you'll see their faces pop up, and they're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly.
But they're in a battle, and they're asking you to join them. Now you may not totally understand everything they're talking about, but get yourself educated. I want to recommend, if I haven't said this in the air before, but Peter Marshall. He's got some good books out that go back to the history of this country, the way it was founded, in the moving of God through time. We need to get educated, and we need to teach our children.
Yes.
So is there anything more you want to say, Mary Frances, about Sharia law? Because this is a new piece for a lot of people. And I've seen
things it is.
I've seen things that are, frankly, very frightening.
There are some things that are very frightening because we're finding this creeping into our financial systems and into our schools. We now have Muslims who are at work who are requiring that their religious traditions be honored. I would like to know if Christians would be allowed to take time off from their job to pray. So why should we give other religions that opportunity unless it is all alike? This is a free country. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You cannot impose it on others.
Yeah. It's interesting. This is really picking on people who lean one direction politically, but I want you to hear me out here. We had a couple weeks ago the National Day of Silence for against bullying, but especially around issues of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm against bullying. You know, I support that kind of a focus on justice and kindness. But here's the thing. Where is the National Day of Silence for the handicapped? Where's the National Day of Silence for all kinds of other needs and minority groups and much larger concerns that sweep our country? Poverty? International warfare? You know, it seems to me that we've gotten tilted as a country away from issues of justice that will truly right our country and help us to become a great force in the world for good. We've gotten tilted toward issues that are very partisan, and they tend toward selfishness. You know,
they are divisive.
Well, they are divisive because if 80% say we're Christian, and the nation's slowly becoming divided down the middle over issues of marriage and rights around sexuality, can we not turn the corner and get back to the major concerns that ought to be ours as a country? What are those concerns? What should we be focused on?
We have to lose that victim mentality. Because you are not a victim because you're not allowed to marry your partner of the same sex. You can have any lifestyle in this country you want. It's protected in your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you don't see yourself as a victim and impose that on others.
Can I say something for listeners that don't know? Our country is a champion of gay rights, ahead of nearly every other country in the world, including places like Switzerland, where marriage has been legalized for same-sex partners. We allow more rights in terms of adopting children and all other kinds of things. Yes. People got to wake up and realize people have rights here, but we're going to lose. If we push too hard in one direction, others are losing their rights. And it suggests to me we've forgotten the main thing. Ultimately, as a Christian, I say the main thing is God, but there's a way to repackage that for the secular person. You could say the main thing is values that help the family be strong and secure, which will help churches and all of society retain its strength. Research. In pages of research.
Dr. Campbell, research, the Ten Commandments has been the code of social justice in the civilized world for 5,000 years, 2,000 by iCalendar, regardless of your political or your religious persuasion, because they were good codes of justice.
And they're the foundation for the three great world religions, right?
That's
down
right.
to what we call the Golden Code. And so we've got to live by these things, whether you call yourself Christian or not.
Dr. Campbell, Psalm 33, verse 12 says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And recently, Senator Marco Rubio, in his response to the President's State of the Nation address, let me quote you what Senator Marco Rubio said. He said, "The truth is every problem in our nation can't be solved by the government. Many are caused by the moral breakdown in our society, and the answers to those challenges lie primarily in our families and our faith, not our politicians."
That's very well put.
Yes, we do. That ultimately the problems in our country are spiritual, are financial, cultural, social, educational, family problems, our ever-expanding government, our steady loss of liberties are all symptoms of our spiritual problems.
But the one thing that we have in this nation that has to be preserved is our individual freedom. That's my freedom and your freedom.
Yes. How do we preserve it? If you had to summarize, we're closing out now our last minute. How do we preserve our freedoms?
We keep our traditional values.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of holding on to history, is it? It's that those values are grounded in Scripture, in God. They're grounded in the Magna Carta from overseas, a long history of freedom for which people have fought and died, and for which we must pray and fight any way we can in a positive way. I'm not saying hurt people. I'm saying through prayer, as you all have emphasized, promoting positive values, getting out and realizing our vote and our voices do make a difference. And love will conquer in the end, won't it?
Very good summary.
Very, very good.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us, and I want to thank you listeners for joining us today. This has been a difficult program for some to listen to. I think for all of us, because we realize we need God. And so I'm going to close this in a prayer. Lord, we want to acknowledge we do need you. We ask you to turn this country back to you. Our coins still have impressed an image in which the verbiage is found. In God we trust. Let it be so, Lord, and you will bless us. Amen.
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 This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.